This is a replay of the Tuesday night, June 13th, WGN show. We started around 11, right after the Stanley Cup Finals. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got about 2 hours to spend together tonight, and I hope you'll join us. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. Now, if you're listening on the stream, again, you're not going to hear the return feed from WGN. So that's my fault. So there's moments of silence. Okay, minutes of silence. So we didn't lose you. It didn't drop. But during the breaks, you'll hear nothing. Well, unless I play something or say something, but you won't hear anything from the return feed on WGN. All right, so that's for stream listeners, or to my stream at raleigh.net. If you're listening to WGN stream, well, it's perfect because everything they do is perfect. All right, now, we're going to talk about a number of things. Yeah, like I say, including how can I scam you? Let me count the ways. It's unbelievable. But I always defer to first-time callers, and we got one. It's Judy, who's a first-time caller in North Riverside. Welcome to WGN Radio, Judy.
Hello, Raleigh. How are you today?
All right. How about yourself?
Fine, thank you. I'd like to know, could you please repeat the prayer of St. Anthony?
Oh, yes. And by the way, this is the secular prayer. People in the Catholic religion have very, religious prayers, but this is just the secular version to get stuff. And it's...
Yes.
Yeah, right. St. Anthony, please come around. Something is lost, which cannot be found. Please find my, and then you insert the item you want to find, and then thank him profusely, and that's it.
Profusely.
Yeah, I would say so. And I'll tell you what, the last few times I've done this, I have found things that I was looking for hours. After I said the prayer, I found it in minutes.
Well, I hope this is going to work for me.
What did you lose?
My remote.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, that is terrible. Now I know why you're listening to the radio. Oh, man. Give it a try and let me know where it is. Now, of course, we always say it's always in the last place you look, but of course it would be because after you find it, you stop looking. So it will be in the last place you look, but I want to know where it was. So check it out and let me know.
I will. Thank you, Raleigh.
Right. Thanks, Judy. All right, so for Judy,
bye-bye.
Yeah, here's an intercessory prayer for Judy. St. Anthony, please come around. Something is lost with Judy. It won't be found. Well, you can find it, though, so find it for Judy now, please. And thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, very much appreciated. All right, yeah, lost remote. Well, that is crucial. All right, so, yeah. All right, Leah and Marcus Hook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you for taking my call. How are you tonight?
Well, I can't complain. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I wanted to call and talk about two different things. first the I-95 thing. I just heard about it.
Oh, you know, and John hadn't, because we're driving along today, and I said, you heard about I-95, right? And he's, no. I said, oh, my God. And I told him, and for people who don't know, I-95 actually wasn't completed in Philadelphia for literally decades. It's only been in the last, like, 25 years that it's fully complete. And part of it is elevated, particularly in Northeast Philly. It's elevated, you know, Bridesboro, Holmesburg, all that. Yes, Tacony, you betcha. And so it is that there was a tanker Sunday morning about 6 a.m. underneath the freeway, because the roads run under it. Like I say, it's elevated near Cottman, actually. Mm-hmm. And so from Cottman to Academy, it's closed because the damn thing collapsed. I don't mean a bridge. I mean I-95.
And the actual road collapsed.
The actual road collapsed. And you can see pictures of this. And, of course, going north is where it really collapsed. But in the process, coming south is unstable. What blew me away?
From the heat of the fire.
Yeah,
of course. From the heat of the fire. And the driver died. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, in a way, he might be lucky, because can you imagine those lawsuits? But and, of course, since it's a tanker, he probably didn't own it, and the company that does probably will be paying to rebuild an interstate, which they're claiming will take up to 6 months.
I think it's going to take more like a year.
Yeah,
you should see it.
Oh,
have you seen the pictures?
I've seen the pictures. Now, have you seen it in person?
No, I haven't seen it in person. You can't get down there. You can't. The people that live there in the Tacony section were on the news tonight talking about how no one's told them anything. They just put steel barricades up where the neighborhoods are, so people don't turn down their streets. And no one's come and told them, like, what's going on or what's going to happen in their neighborhood. Women are saying, like, you know, I have doctor's appointments. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there. They can't get out of their neighborhood.
It's really interesting. I would think that the television stations are going to have a field day, because they can show all the other routes and the way out of the neighborhoods. But even when they listed the proposed routes yesterday, when they were saying, you know, use 676 as an alternative, I'm like, in your dreams, there's no way.
Really.
You know, that's insanity.
Crazy.
You know, I mean, come on. Oh, I love the one that said, just go to New Jersey.
Well, that's what this other guy was saying, that he is now, he's going through New Jersey to get to Bucks County.
Yes, absolutely. And coming back.
It's going to cost him like $15 extra a month or something.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, because of the New Jersey exit fee. Right. People don't understand. You can't leave New Jersey without paying a toll. I don't care where it is. You can't even go to the beach. New Jersey has an exit fee. No, so he, and of course, coming back, if he's trying Bucks County, he's probably coming back through Bristol. Well, now that's put him on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. That's another toll.
Or, no, not $15, like $1,500 a month, he said.
Right, because it's expensive. I remember when I moved to Philadelphia, I was talking to the late Stephen B. Williams, the guy who does my announcing, and I told him about bridge tolls, and he said, there's no such thing as a bridge toll. You know? Yeah, boy. Here's a boy who's clearly lived in places like Wyoming. I said, no, there are bridge tolls, really.
Yeah, and they charge for air in Pennsylvania when you want to put air in your tire.
Yeah, well, a lot of places do that now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of places do that. But, yeah, I
remember someone coming from Las Vegas and going, they charge for air?
Right. Well, I'll bet you right now in Las Vegas they probably do too, because everybody's trying to, you know, get the last dollar out of something.
Probably. But the other thing I wanted to mention was I heard on Court TV today Lori Vallow is getting another trial.
What?
And I don't know how or why.
What? Oh, no.
I know. I'm shocked too.
Oh, no. And for people who don't know, this is the woman convicted of killing her kids.
Yeah.
Oh.
How is she getting another trial? Or is it the trial? I don't know. I just don't know. I don't understand.
Yeah,
and I thought
Lori Vallow Daybell. And that's the way to look it up. And I'm trying to see, because I did not know that she was getting another trial. Really? This is Court TV. I guess they had nothing else to talk about, so they tried this.
Well, there was another trial and someone else killed their kid. I mean, what the hell's going on?
Oh,
why are all these people killing their children?
Well, the same way that people are on their last nerve and killing everybody. I mean, it's not just the kids.
Yeah, but the children, what the hell?
Oh, I know. I agree. All right. So on May 27, she requested a new trial. And
okay.
A juror responded after her attorneys asked for information. Okay, so on May 30th, they asked for a new trial. Her attorneys filed for a new trial. And what they were questioning a man who served on the jury, and there was a motion filed by the defense attorneys. And Saul Hernandez, who spoke with East Idaho News, said he and 11 other jurors found her guilty of murdering her two children, Joshua and Tylee, and also found guilty of conspiracy. In the motion for the new trial, Jim Archibald and John Thomas, the attorneys, claim Hernandez knew about evidence that wasn't presented during the trial and that instructions given to jurors were confusing. The lawyers cite a portion of Hernandez's interview with East Idaho News, where he was asked about the efforts of law enforcement. He responded that police in Arizona had some significant red flags before and after Charles Vallow, Lori's fourth husband, was shot and killed by her brother. Because it's a real soap opera. And so we didn't consider this during our deliberations because it was clear to us the instructions were clear. Arizona evidence and testimonies only for demonstrative purposes. Well, so that's what it is. It's a juror issue.
Sure.
But the one that I couldn't believe, I'm trying to think what the case was now, but it was one where the juror in voir dire said he had never had any molestation in his family, and it turned out that he did. And I thought that would have overthrown that immediately, and it hasn't.
That was that girl that I can't pronounce her name.
I can't remember.
In jail.
Yeah.
She was hooked up with that financier, whatever his name was.
Yeah, it's terrible. I just can't remember the names, but I sure remember the.
Yeah, I can't pronounce her name, or I'd say it.
Really? Okay. What the heck? Now, this is going to bother me. It'll be another thing. We're in the middle of the night. I yell it out.
Jelaine Maxwell.
Oh, yes, yes, yes,
is that how
yes.
You say it, Jelaine?
Well, that's
why
I say it, but that's probably not how she says it. G S I. G-H-I-S-L-A-I-N-E. I say it's Jelaine, but I don't think she pronounces it that way. But yes, the Maxwell trial. Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that verdict should have been absolutely overturned when a juror not only admitted that he had molestation in his past, but that he used the examples to convince the rest of the jury. And he said this. And to me, you know, I don't know if she's guilty, if she's innocent, or what it is. But when a juror says that, and I don't care that it's accidental that he forgot to list it on his voir dire and didn't mention it to any attorney. But the fact that that's the case, that should be thrown out and start over.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I agree with you on that. But this one for Lori Vallow, I don't know.
You know, I'm going to have to look at, but again, it was Saul Hernandez, the juror who's talking with the news, and suddenly something he says, the lawyers are saying, wait a minute, how does he know that? So,
You know, jurors just shouldn't talk to the news afterwards.
Yeah, well, they all do.
Their mouth shut.
It's so common that the news media comes up to them. Not only that, but it's standard practice that the opposing attorney will interview them. Because,
really?
Yeah, and that's because they want to know what was in the mindset. In other words, you know, where did I go wrong type thing.
Oh, okay. Like a mock jury kind of thing.
Well, yeah, they want to know. Like in my trial when I defeated the LBJ family in Austin, their lawyers, Roy Minton, who was a famous lawyer who had, defended, I think, a press secretary of Johnson's who, like, killed somebody as a teen or something. And, of course, he lost on all counts with me. And he absolutely interviewed the jury because he couldn't understand why they found for me. And it was interesting because, of course, he just did not understand talk radio on any level.
Who was it? Like F. Lee Bailey or somebody?
No, it was Roy Minton. And
okay.
I'm trying to think of who LBJ's press secretary's son was, but Roy Minton and a kid actually killed somebody. And that was, you know, in the 60s, obviously.
Yeah.
So anyway, he was celebrated and everybody thought, oh, well, he's going to win. But he was so out of touch that the jury set him straight. But yeah, he interviewed every one of them.
Wow.
Yeah. So
wow.
That's pretty standard.
That's what they do, like, beforhand sometimes.
Oh, no, that's voir dire. You have to. And I'll tell you what, and I've done, when I used to be an expert witness in the California court system, I did talk to lawyers about voir dire being the most important thing, more important than anything that they're going to say, is who they are selecting to be on that jury. Nothing is more important.
I mean,
than
before
that.
They even have voir dire, they have mock trials sometimes with fake jurors and everything.
Oh. Absolutely, they do. There's companies that specialize in it, but that's
right.
that's predictive.
The psychological aspect,
right? That's predictive only to a degree. It's not as simple as like the TV show that had that made it out to be. I forget who that was, but
Bull.
Right, Bull. It's not as simple as Bull made it out to be. But yes, there are a lot of concerns.
Fascinating. It would be a fascinating line of work, wouldn't it?
There's a company.
Do mock trials and stuff.
Well, there's a company in San Francisco that specializes in it. And
really?
Absolutely. That's all they do. And they do it pretty well, but it's still not absolute. The most important thing you can do is voir dire.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
And you better.
I know, but it seems like people are falling through the cracks now.
I know. Well, you know, in the case of a juror hiding information, either intentionally or not intentionally, well, that you really can't combat. But unfortunately, some of the things that I've seen, you know, attorneys accept without, I'd use a peremptory challenge on anything that I knew was going to lose me, guaranteed going to lose me. I'll take one of these as my peremptory challenge. So get them off here. And
is it different in each state? How many
peremptory
challenges they get?
Well, sure. Everything's different in every state, of course.
Okay.
And then, of course, depending upon the trial setting, things are different as well. Whether it's superior court or then it can be federal court. Everything has its own set of water cooler laws.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I wanted to know.
Well,
because I about separated my head from my shoulders when I heard she was getting a new trial.
Well, we don't know. I don't know that she is. I know they've requested it, but I can't find anything online that says it was granted yet.
Okay.
I know they've asked, but that doesn't mean she gets.
Okay. She's requested it. So
yeah, and most are turned down. And, this was late May that they filed. And I haven't seen anything since then that said it was granted.
Okay.
So it could be a while, but we don't know yet. And you know, for her lawyers, they're doing the right thing. Of course they should. If they have a juror who is questionable, absolutely they should say, I want a new trial. But now it will be up
to... Well, right. They certainly can't be said to be,
It'll be up to the judge to look at. It'll be up to the judge to look at the evidence and decide whether it, in fact, is reasonable or not. And then, an appeal can be filed on that too.
At least she can't come back and say inadequate defense. You know.
No. Well, she can say anything she wants, but that won't hold water.
It won't hold water.
No,
right.
No,
that's what I meant.
No. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They're all out there. I've got a bunch of criminals we're going to talk about tonight. The scams are out there in full force. So
they really are.
Oh God,
they really are.
They really are.
I watch these shows on 183 on the Learning Channel, and they have these people that are trying to be matched with somebody abroad, the scams are unbelievable. The catfishing is just unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that woman in Ghana who was just arrested big time for that. Yeah, to an extent, I say, well, you get what's coming to you. But there's a number of people who are being scammed through utterly no fault of their own. And now with AI, well, I'll fill you in on the details.
Yeah, okay.
All right, good deal. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it, Leah.
Raleigh.
All right. So we'll find out what's going on in the world at large. We'll talk to Karen in Chicago. There's room for you, too. And yes, I will tell you how AI is enhancing the thieves' methods. Oh, in ways you haven't even conjured. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Michelle, fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Style.
too hot. Call the police and the fireman, I'm too hot. Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band bought that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Just watch.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's Mark Ronson with Bruno Mars. Uptown Funk 2015 on Columbia. And it was Stacy who requested that. It took us a while, but we played it. So there's Stacy. All right. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Karen is in Chicago. What's happening tonight, Karen?
Hi, Raleigh. You know, I've been following the trial, too. And my understanding was that the next trial is going to be for Chad.
Well, that may be, but what's happened here is that her lawyers, on top of the guilty verdict, have filed for a new trial. So that's separate and apart from anything else. Now,
I missed that somehow.
Yeah, that was in late May in response to a juror who was interviewed from an East Idaho publication and made statements that her two lawyers said, "Wait a minute, how would he know that?" You know, question like that. So that's what they're going after.
I just can't understand how anyone who grew up with any kind of normal religious experience could fall for something like that and fall for it so incredibly strong that she would actually go through killing her own kids.
Well, clearly, you know, the woman has a screw loose. I mean, we're not debating that she's insane. It's sort of like, oh, okay, she's insane, now jail her for life. To me, it's irrelevant she's insane, and obviously the jury thought so, too.
I had called last week. I wanted to tell you about a wonderful customer service experience I had.
All right, let's hear it.
And it was with C. Crane.
Ah!
I had called to order some headphones, and I noticed on the last ones I ordered, there was a little control, and I fiddled around with it, and here I discovered it would turn my devices off and on.
Yeah.
Well, not the radio, but like your iPhone or iPad. Well, I called and ordered some more because I use them constantly, and they get used so much, it's incredible. So I got some new ones, but they didn't have the little control on them. I was totally happy, but I was curious. So I called back, and I got this very nice gentleman, and I thought, oh, he's going to think I'm nuts. And I said, can I ask you a crazy question? And he said, sure. So I described the headphones that I had got and the headphone that I had before. And he said, oh, sure, I'm familiar with that. And I said, that was kind of what I wanted, but it's not a problem. I'm totally happy with the ones I have. And he said, well, you know, we sent you the wrong ones. Let me talk to the lady in the back. And he went and talked to somebody, and he came back and said, you know what? We're going to send you three pair of the ones that you were asking about. And I said, well, you know, I'm willing. I kind of don't want to return the other ones because I'm blind, and I opened two of the packages. You know, I thought maybe somebody made a mistake. And he said, oh, no, no, I don't want you to return them. We are sending you, I had ordered three pairs. So mm-hmm. He said, we're sending you three pair of these at no charge. And believe it or not, I got them.
Yeah, I do believe it. Absolutely.
Oh, I couldn't. I said, this is just incredible. So now he said, sure, we'll send you some backup. And I was so happy with that. And such nice people.
Yeah, absolutely. And they do everything in-house like that. So, yeah, I've never found better customer service.
Oh, I couldn't. You know, we were talking about, I've had so much nasty, you know, with these cell phone companies, and I have one terrible time with Simple Mobile. You never know what you're going to get. Sometimes they come out right, and sometimes you don't know. Oh, yeah, you got to, we'll send you a free phone. No, no, don't do that. We'll send you a SIM card. Don't do that, because I don't have any money to raise it. You know, you send me a SIM card, and I'm going to have to read it back to you. Oh, don't you have someone there who can read it? No, I don't. What in the heck is...
There's nothing to read on a SIM card. You insert it, but... so.
And there's numbers you have to read
Well,
back.
You shouldn't have... But in any event, the deal with cell phones, especially if you use the MVNOs, which I do, those are the virtual networks that are cheap deals. Well, you get what
you... cheap.
Yeah, right. I like cheap. You get what you pay for. And, you know, so there's one I use where you will never actually talk to a customer service rep. They pride themselves on the fact that you will never be able to do that. You can chat if you want, and good luck with that, because most of these people, you're really chatting.
I can't. I don't know how.
Well, even if you did, half of it's AI, and the other half is from a country you can't find on a map and all that. But the prices are so darn good that it's sort of like, okay, I know exactly what I'm getting here, and that works for me. I have a problem when it's, you know, supposedly a full service company and you find out the hard way, no, it's not.
One of the worst ones has got to be AT&T.
Well, they're, well, you know, again...
You ask them a question, go online and you get
right,
out of here.
Right, right. Again, they're, you know, it's tough for cell companies in general. It really is. And competition is very tough. And, of course, you know, the pricing with the MVNOs becomes very easy. Of course, I realize, you know, DirecTV and all that. But, yeah... they're another one big in online chat. And of course, AT&T, as you know, it has nothing to do with the Bell system you knew years ago. It's an outgrowth of Southwestern Bell, which actually, back in the Bell days, Southwestern Bell was one of the better Bells. So, yeah. Anyway, you're not alone.
Oh, man. And the other thing that always gets me about customer service, I wish you'd give me somebody who could at least speak some
English,
if it's not.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the old, you think you're speaking English, and I know you are not. That's how that that goes. But
sometimes I'm told, please slow down. I can't, and they talk real fast.
Well, the other thing you can do is ask for someone else. You know, if you keep asking for someone else, yeah, you eventually. The deal with overseas call centers is that there again, those companies get what they pay for. If they wanted to pay for it, they could get people who sounded like they were in New York or Georgia or anywhere else. Georgia as in America, not Russia. In any event, you know, you're paying a premium for that service. And most of the companies don't do it. But as far as outsourcing to foreign countries, you know, I'm jealous as hell of the countries that were behind the Iron Curtain, because the Soviet Union countries had no infrastructure whatsoever after the wall fell. In fact, that was the big shock that people got nothing. And so it was that they rebuilt from scratch rather than trying to patch an old system that includes a lot of copper. So, man, I'll occasionally get someone on the phone who I know is, you know, somewhere in Poland, and I'll say, all right, break it to me gently. What's your fiber speed? And, you know, it's like, oh, 5 gigs symmetrical. I'm like, I'm going to vomit. You know, yeah, exactly, because it's a new build out, and we don't have that here. It's rare that you you are able to take advantage of that.
Oh, it's incredible. If you get a chance, would you play for me? You can pick out your favorite Manhattan song.
Oh, okay. It may not be tonight, but it will be this week.
I don't care.
All right,
it's
good
okay.
deal.
I listen every night.
Thanks. I appreciate it, Karen.
Thank you, and thanks for that prayer from St. Anthony.
It works. It works. Try it.
I wrote it down. Right.
Yeah. Good deal.
I so many things.
Yes.
Okay,
thanks.
So much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah. The other day, and you know, I use it often, and it does work, but when it worked literally both times within seconds after I had been searching for literally hours, I was I was grateful. Yes, St. Anthony. Absolutely. All right. I want to mention one of the scams that's going on, because this particularly, if maybe you're a grandparent, you know about the grandparents scam, where people will call you on the phone and they'll or they'll text you, things like that, and they'll claim that they're your grandson or granddaughter, and they'll try to extract money from you because, you know, they've been arrested or they're being detained or whatever. Old scam, nothing new. Here's the new part. AI is the scammer's friend. What they are doing is going online, and it doesn't take much when you're talking about young people, and finding the voice of the person they want to impersonate, usually on a social media site or something of that nature. And then they clone that voice. That's where the AI comes in. They clone the voice, and then they call the grandparent pretending to be the grandchild. And of course, the grandparent usually falls for it because it sounds just like the grandchild. And it gets more elaborate than that. Of course, the other thing, not only do they clone voices, but the idea that you're looking at the phone number and thinking that it has anything to do with the phone that's actually in use, forget about it. Because it is so easy to spoof caller ID. I'm not going to tell you how, but anybody can. And doesn't take Einstein for this. So the bottom line is that you'll look at it and you think, well, you know, that's my grandson's number, and yeah, that I'm talking to him. He sounds just like you. No. At the very least, if you think that maybe there's something to it, hang up the phone and call your grandson or granddaughter or whatever yourself. In other words, don't pay attention to what somebody is saying on the call. Likewise, if you get an email, don't hit reply no matter what. Look at that sender address, and invariably you're going to find out that it is not your relative. Contact your relative directly yourself. So that's probably the best way to stay safe. But expect now that it's sophisticated to the point that it's going to sound just like the person they're claiming to be. Thank you, AI. And more good news coming up on WGN Radio.
I have been a rover, I have walked alone, hiked 100 highways, never found a home. Still and all I'm happy, the reason is you see, once in a while along the way, love's been good to me. There was a girl in Denver before the summer storm. Oh, her eyes were tender, oh, her arms were warm, and she could smile away the thunder, kiss away the rain. Even though she's gone away, won't hear me complain.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And that, of course, is Frank Sinatra. Yeah. And Rod McEwen wrote it. Rita in Harwood Heights requested it. Love's Been Good to Me, 1969 on Reprise. All right, another hour of this coming up, but let's see if I can't give you another. Another Let Me Scam You, Let Me Count the Ways. The Post Office. All right. Now, I remember as rotten kids playing pranks on other people. Occasionally, you could really, really screw somebody up by changing their address. You know, they had the cards you could just fill out and just change the address. Now, of course, anybody I knew as a kid who did this was not intending to commit grand theft. But it should have occurred to me that, man, it would be so easy to do. And so now the post office is announcing new policies after a report had found that there is a humongous jump in change of address fraud. And the way it works is somebody will go ahead and, file a card with your name and address and a new address. And of course, what they're trying to do is get checks that are yours and cash them. And that's easier than you think. We'll get to how to do that. Not step by step, but what's going on. In any event, the post office is supposed to check IDs on things like that, but they don't. And TV2 in New York actually tried to contact them about this because they're saying our new policy includes this. And TV2 is saying, well, wait just a minute. This was your policy, you know, since January on your website. When are you planning to actually implement it? They didn't get a call back, at least not so far. And so there's been a number of people who've questioned the post office, and this is so serious. And in fact, I'll get to the suggestion that you just not ever mail a check. Yeah, all that and more coming up next hour on WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. That's the Wicket Pickett Wilson Pickett 1966 on Atlantic 99.5 did not chart pop and got somewhere in the 50s on the R&B chart. So not a big hit, but one that Johnny D requested and happy to play it. 888-876-5593-8888. Riley, we'll get to Stacy in a moment. But USPS. So we're talking about earlier that one of the easiest frauds, if you're looking to commit any, is the old change of address fraud, because you just change somebody's address to anything you want. Now, the amazing thing is that there really is nothing in place to notify the person whose address is being changed. And so one of the things the USPS is proposing they'll do, because right now they're doing nothing, obviously, no matter what they say, is that they'll send activation letters to the new address. Now, wait a minute. It seems to me, since it is the post office, it can override the address change request and send something to the old address. So, in fact, if somebody did not change their address, they will be at the same old address to get the number. Now, I realize for somebody else, well, it won't work because, you know, the change of address will start forwarding things. But the post office can override that and easily do that. There are so many things it could easily do, as we're saying, like requiring identification, which now the post office is saying, oh, we're going to start doing that. Well, what do you mean start? It's on your website that you've been doing it since January. Well, it turns out that this is a long-standing problem made worse with people with time on their hands, say the pandemic. And of course, the pandemic was just a boon for people who wanted to defraud others because many of those checks were mailed. All right, so the deal is that the easiest way to intercept it, just change the address. And as I say, long even before the pandemic, there were people even in Congress complaining that there are just no safeguards in change of address. And the USPS put out a report themselves in 2018, admitting that there's no national policy outlining the requirement for someone to check IDs at the post office. And of course, if you do this online, that's yet another issue. And so apparently from 2020 to 2021 alone, attempted identity theft due to address changes zoomed up by over 167% and more now. And you got people like New Jersey Representative Josh Gottheimer, who said, this is far too lax, I guess. And he was slamming the Postal Service online process. Apparently, see, I've never tried to do this online, but apparently they have a requirement where they charge $1.05 to a credit card so that the person can be verified. What? This doesn't mean the person can be verified. It just means that on some credit card belonging to somebody, a $1.05 charge was issued, not necessarily the person who's the subject of the address change. They have no idea if the credit card actually belongs to the person living at the address that's being changed. And Representative Gottheimer brought that up as well. And you got a number of people weighing in, including law enforcement and the folks at John Jay College of Criminal Justice in New York, who said it won't get to 100%, but there's many things they can do to help. I say one of the things, and it isn't even suggested in this article, is the post office should override its forwarding and send a letter to the old address. How hard is this? All right, well, apparently harder than you might think. Oh, so what does the post office say in the meantime? Just don't send checks through the mail. You think I'm making this up? Oh, I'll get to that story coming up, but we got Stacy in Algonquin. What's happening, Stacy? Oh, wait a minute. I gotta get her on the air here in order for her to answer the question. So there you are, Stacy. What's going on?
Oh, thank you for playing my song, Raleigh.
Oh, yeah.
And so how are you doing?
Yeah, same old stuff. Can't complain.
Well, I wanted to find out the exact date and time to write the abundance check this week.
All right. Yes, and it is this week. Let me pull that information out. I have it here right in front of me in one of my checkbooks for Marianne, because she sent me those things so I would remember. And let's see. It's 2023. All right. Now, no use in looking at the 2022 book then. All right. 2023. Here we are in front of my very eyes. It is June 18th at 12:37 a.m. Eastern Time. So that means it's June 17th at 11:37 p.m. All right. So.
June 17th
at 11:37 p.m. So the 17th is Saturday. So Saturday night, probably before 11:30. Saturday night, write the check.
Oh, okay, before 17th for the abundance check.
And you can always go online to MarianneWinkowski.com because she's got it all listed there.
Okay, but I picked that song because, and I'm so glad I turned you on when I did from the beginning. And I just thought, with this terrible world and such killing beautiful babies and stuff, it's terrible, just to have something peppy.
Sure.
And
it's a great song, and it's a very simple video, but really nice dancing in it.
Oh, yeah, that's what I love.
Yeah.
I'm hanging in there. I'm trying to do one thing at a time. I've got a lot going on, too. And
well, hopefully some good things.
Yeah, well, I have to set up some doctor's appointments and then, the paperwork. And then you were talking about the you know what I get? A lot of calls I don't think I'm going to answer. If they're important, they'll leave me a voicemail.
Yes.
I get a lot of these calls where you say hello, and they just hang up.
Well, yeah, but you see, that's not they. Let me give you some advice on this. I would not answer the phone if I did not recognize the caller ID number, because a lot of this is a different kind of phishing. It's happening automated by bots, not by people. And what they're trying to ascertain is whether the number is active and a real person will answer it. And then if the number is active and a real person will answer it, they'll sell the number. And so if you're wondering, like, oh, my God, I get so many telemarketing calls, well, probably what happens is you answer the phone once and all of a sudden somebody puts you on a list, active number, and they sell it.
Oh, my gosh.
So never, ever, especially on cell phones, you don't recognize that number, wait for the message. Don't answer it.
Okay. Oh, boy, there's so many of those. I won't.
Yeah.
And if it's legitimate, they'll leave me a message.
Well, that's right, they will. And there's also caller ID spoofing. It usually won't happen with the description I just gave you, because caller ID spoofing is a little more complex than that. But it would be if somebody was targeting you personally. Let's say you had grandkids. They would spoof your grandkids' phone number and you know, pretend to be them, or pretend that you know, they're calling for them who's sick or in trouble or whatever. And so, but the robots that are just trying to ascertain whether it's a live number or not, they usually won't spoof the ID. It'll either be just something you don't recognize, or it will be something that says private caller. In any event, you don't pick those up.
Okay. Oh, gosh. I wish this... It's terrible out there, Raleigh.
Well, it is. It's going to get worse long before it's better. We'll be long off the planet, you and me, before it does. But as I have said numerous times, the shift to digital technology is the biggest change mankind has faced since really the advent of the wheel. When they discovered the wheel, life as the cavemen knew it changed virtually overnight. Well, for us, it's taking a little longer. And this has the roll-up to this started with the Industrial Revolution. So we're talking, you know, early 1800s, really, and to now. But digital technology is such a game changer, and we're not anywhere near the end of this this shift. And so right now, it is so easy for scammers to use it to their advantage. It's also very easy for anybody who wants to control, i.e. the government, to use it to their advantage. What we have now is we have the technical ability to do things, but we don't have the wisdom not to do them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not lost on me why the data center's in Draper, Utah. But believe me, everything we're saying is captured, even right now. Now, it's not heard by a human being, but it's captured and stored because memory is so easy. And I've talked about the famous example, which is now many, many years ago, but it was Canada. It was the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, where they showed up at a woman's house investigating terrorism, because what happened is robotically her call was intercepted. And what she was actually talking about was to a friend how her kid, her grade school kid, had bombed in the school play. Well, of course, you know what happened. Yeah, bombed in school, and the Canadian Mounted Police are there, you know, and we're pretty embarrassed about it. But that was a long time ago. But now it's very sophisticated. So anybody who thinks that every word isn't captured and stored is just fooling themselves.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But again, it normally won't be kicked out. You know, in other words, for a human to review. It'll just be there.
Right.
So, yeah, it's tough times because memory is so cheap. And as soon as memory got that cheap, I know what's going on here. And sure enough, it's too tempting not to want to surveil everybody.
All right. Can I just ask for one more song?
Yeah, what do you want?
You can pick it out. Justin, Alan Jackson, whichever one that you want.
Okay, well, it won't be tonight, but it'll be this week.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, good. All right.
Well, you take care.
You too.
Thank
Thanks
you
for
calling.
Everything. Appreciate it. All right.
Bye, I know, so, Robbie.
Yeah, Stacy, sounding good. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Johnny D, who's got another request. Of course he does. And actually, it was Don and Beloit who requested this this next song. And out of proof that I really like Don and Beloit, I'm going to play it. Yeah, it's the flip side of Shapes of Things by the Yardbirds. I'd rather play Shapes of Things. But no, oh no, no, we have to play New York City Blues. Coming up on WGN Radio. They got such a
5'8". I said, I want you to love me. She said, wow, man, that'll be great. So, I got long hair, but she took me back, back to see her pad.
And I thought Shapes of Things was a bad song, man. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, well, I know people do like the Yardbirds, and yes, I understand who was in it and all that. And so it was that Donna Boyd wanted it, and I played it, 1966 on Epic in the U.S., don't you know, New York City Blues. All right, so 888-876-5593. Johnny D. in Ohio, what's up tonight, Johnny D.?
Yes, hello, Raleigh. It's an honor and privilege to be on the show.
Yeah, boy.
Excuse me, I'm still not 100%. I still got this raspiness going on. You know?
It hangs around, but, and especially coughing and all that. That's the worst. It stays for weeks.
Oh, man, I'm hacking up this stuff, you know?
Well, absolutely. It's like, that's a lung. I know it's a lung. Yeah.
I'm going to have to get another bottle of, I only got like a little bit in there. Cold and flu stuff.
Yeah, know? Get a few.
Yeah, I'll have to get a few. I drink them down like water.
Yep.
But anyhow, so I thought to myself, I was listening to the Lita earlier, and I thought to myself, I'll borrow a line from Leela and say, should I call? And then I said to myself, what the hell?
And I played your request. You heard it, didn't you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I heard it. That's what I'm saying. Actually, you played two of my requests. I requested Uptown Funk and a Fast Now. Stacy must have got that from what I asked.
Maybe so. Yes, she was more recent.
I think so. Stacy wouldn't have known nothing about it.
She would.
Well, maybe she would.
She would.
She sounds like a funky lady.
I don't know about that, but
sounds
I...
Like she could get down.
But musically, she would know that. And, of course, she knows country pretty well, always requesting those Alan Jackson records.
But then you played 99 and a half, just won't do.
Yes.
And, I'm thinking, man, wish I could go back to 1966. You know.
I don't know. I think 63 was the last good year.
Like, I was too young in 63, you know.
Yeah.
66, I was a teenager.
Yeah, boy.
So anyhow, so then I wanted to request, so I'm listening to some songs earlier today, tonight, I think I listened to 99 and a half, just won't do,
okay.
Right?
Yes.
And then, like I said, I listened to that YouTube music, and then they'll play another song in that genre, right?
Yes, whether you want them to or not.
So then what came up, huh?
Whether you want them to or not, yes.
Yeah, I know, but sometimes they come up pretty good, And it came on pretty good, because the next song they played was Rock Steady by Aretha Franklin.
Ah.
And I thought, oh, yeah, I like this song, so. And then after that they played I'll Take You There by the Staple Singer.
Uh-huh.
So I'd like to request Rock Steady by Aretha Franklin.
Oh, God. All right.
And I'll Take You There by the Staple Singer.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
And so, thank you for taking my call, Raleigh. And what the hell?
All right. Talk to you soon. Feel better, Johnny.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, boy. It does. You get the creeping crud, and even after you're feeling better, that hack and cough just is there. Yeah, as a reminder. We'll get to John and Waukegan. There's room for you two coming up, but we'll find out what's going on in the world at large right now on WGN Radio.
I love she left me, I'm gonna step it up and go. Yeah, go, I'm gonna go. Well, you can't keep a setting out of class, gotta step it up and go. I'm gonna step it up and go, yeah, go, I'm gonna go. Well, you can't keep a sitting out of class, we gotta step it up and go. The front door's open and the back one too. The music's red hot, what we gonna do? We're gonna it up and go, yeah, go, we're gonna go. Well, you can't keep a setting out of class, you gotta step it up and go.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there he is, Big Jeff Bess, and that's for Cleveland Dennis, who requested that. Yeah, step it up and go. That was a 78, and actually it was kind of interesting because it was, well, I was going to say it's on specialty, but it wasn't. I don't remember, but it was a 78. It was in the 40s, and the deal is when Cleveland Dennis mentioned Big Jeff Bess, I said, well, it can't be the same one, because he actually was in a face in the crowd. He played a sheriff named Big Jeff Bess. So it turned out it was Big Jeff Bess who did that. But before that, in the 40s, I'd always heard this, never actually heard the show. He was on WLAC before they went to R&B at night. They were doing country. And it was, as you'd expect from the 40s, it was musicians, which he was, and it was mostly musicians doing music shows, which he did. But the word is that, yes, he sold the baby chicks, and try as I might, I've heard some air checks of this guy, never did I hear him hawking the chicks. So I don't know what the deal about that was, but it was interesting because he owned a bunch of clubs, and he managed a number of things, including a Holiday Inn for a while, but a number of places. And with the second wife, who was I know what name she was using, but and you will know too when I tell you, but I'm trying to think of Hattie Louise. That was her name, Hattie Louise. Hattie Louise and he owned clubs together. They got divorced in 1961, and she took some of them, and he took some of them, and she, who was known as Tootsie, got the famous, later became famous, Tootsie's Orchid Lounge, and he got another club or two, probably the ones on Clarksville Highway that folded. And by the 60s, he was in the downward spiral, as were a lot of these country performers a la Spade Cooley. And you know that story. If not, we'll review it some warm night. But the deal with Big Jeff, however, is his first big run-in that was known was probably the accident in 1961. But prior to that, well, in 57, he was arrested and fined $25 for hitting someone he was trying to force to leave one of his clubs, Big Jeff Place, named appropriately. In 1960, he was cited for contributing, I guess, to the delinquency of a minor, because that was at Tootsie's Car Hop, also on Clarksville Highway. The charge was later dismissed. But a year after that, he was in a hit and run at 4th and Broadway, downtown Nashville. He's cited for reckless driving, leaving the scene of an accident, failing to report, driving on a revoked license. Well, after the accident, which he wasn't cited for drunk driving, so who knows, but I can't believe he decided to do this sober, but he did, which was he drove his car around the corner, parked it behind the Wagon Wheel Cocktail Lounge where he was working, and then he reported the car stolen. Well, police were able to trace it back in about a picosecond. And so he got a $100 fine and 30-day workhouse, house term. And on and on it went, illegally possessing whiskey for sale and all that. And, yeah, I think that one, they confiscated 46 half-pints of whiskey. and then they suspended the sentence. But in the meantime, Tootsie went on to greatness with Tootsie's Orchid Lounge, and, of course, memorialized in more than one country song. So in 1960, there was an article about him, because this was right after Face in the Crowd, and he was in Wild River also, and he was talking about him and Tootsie moving out to Hollywood. And when we get there, the first thing we're going to have is a swimming pool, just like all the rest of them. So, well, he never got it. Proving that movies imitate life, he later worked as a deputy sheriff himself, and then made some recordings for Delta. And then nothing happened to him in the 70s, but sadly in the 80s he had a stroke, and then he died about 96. But beforehand, his diabetes took over. He wound up losing a leg. He was living alone in a mobile home. His third wife left him, and it was not a pretty thing. Died at 77 years old. So that's the story of Big Jeff Bess, and that was Cleveland Dennis who wanted to hear it. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh, and that is going to take us to John in Waukegan, and then we got Johnny in Austin. All right, so John, what's up?
Yeah, you heard this scam about people selling your houses?
Oh yes, it's easy to do. You see,
I think that the city should be charged for something like that, to let someone come in, papers, and sell your house without them. You know, what I hear is they saying you got to get insurance for that.
No. Here's the problem. In the old days, it could have been done, but before the era of computers and digitization and all that, you would have had to go to the courthouse and you would have to find the papers and you'd have to file them. They don't do that anymore because everybody's property is online. You can, from the privacy of your bedroom, just kind of mosey on through all of the house stats, and you can see pictures in addition to knowing who owns them and all that, and pick the one you want to scam and fill the whole thing out online. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how I knew this, but as a kid, I say this technology is going to screw things up.
Well, and you're 100% right. Now, ultimately, I think long after we're all off this planet Earth, it will level out and be a good thing. But the ensuing years are going to continue to be chaos.
Right.
Yep.
And then you have a lot of people overseas, overseas is scamming people over.
They're the originals. They're the originators of it. You know, anybody who thinks they don't have good broadband in Africa hasn't looked at some of the scams. And, the romance scams are the saddest ones, where, they look for lonely old people and they have different pictures that don't exist and all that. And they pretend that, they're falling in love with you. And next thing you know, you're sending them tens of thousands of dollars. That's as commonplace as it gets. In fact, a woman in Ghana was just transported here for trial on those charges.
Yeah. Well, I had a guy once call me. He was, I don't know, something he was trying to sell me. And he asked me my name, and then I asked him his name.
Right.
And he said, Paul. I said, Paul who? Oh, I can't give you that information. When he said that, I just hung up on him.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, I can't give you any information either. Goodbye. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. And you're, absolutely be vigilant. If they're calling you, you don't want whatever they're selling.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, John.
Okay, well,
good to hear from you.
That's it.
Good.
That's
Hope to talk to you soon. Thanks, John.
Yeah.
All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Johnny in Austin, what's up tonight?
Hey, what's going on with you?
Not a damn thing. So good to hear from you.
It's good to talk to you, too. I've been listening to the whole show. You came in a little late.
Yes. Well, that was, of course, on the heels of the Stanley Cup winner. And it's interesting that they'll have a hockey playoff with two teams that have never seen a drop of snow.
So you got on about, was it an hour late?
Yes, exactly an hour.
Wow. I was just hearing your last caller talking about scamming. There's this girl that I discovered, and that wasn't even why I called, but there was a girl I discovered who had some really cool YouTubes about when she would get scammed, she would scam these scammers back.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, I've even seen police departments that are now doing it.
she was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I went out when you were on the phone on that topic, I was trying to find her her name on YouTube.
Yeah.
And if you saw my office, you would pass out. But I can't find her. I'll email it to you. But anyway, the reason I called was, you know, back when I was doing R&B and Top 40 radio back in the 60s and 70s, I had no idea that a lot of these artists recorded their hit songs in other languages.
Oh, of course. Of course. And it was hilarious because, you know, they were doing it phonetically. They had no idea what they were saying.
Well, you know, until my friend Bud Bichard, who was the big oldie disc jockey in Dallas, very good friend of mine, who sadly left us a couple of years ago.
It is sad, yes.
I miss him greatly. But at any rate, he knew all about music, and there wasn't anything he didn't know. But he had sent me, a couple of years back, a foreign language hit compilation that he put together himself. Uh-huh. And there's all kind of stuff on here. There's like the Rascals singing Groovin' in Spanish and also Italian. I didn't even know they did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got a copy here of The Ring of Fire in Spanish by Johnny Cash.
Right. By the way, you can the groove in the Italian version. That's right on YouTube.
I know, so, yeah. I know, and a lot of these are. And Gene Pitney, "Town Without Pity" in German is really pretty good.
Right. Well, I wouldn't know. I know how it sounds, but I have no idea what he's saying.
Well, I had a German listener call me once and said, he didn't do a bad job of that. It was pretty good.
Huh.
And another one was Silver Threads and Golden Needles by the Springfields, which was also in German. But Motown, of all people, had a ton of stuff that was recorded in Italian and Spanish, German, all kind of stuff. They actually made a couple of CDs called Motown Around the World.
Yes, absolutely.
But the funny thing was, when all this was going on, you would have thought that, you know, I would have heard about it, but I didn't know anything back then.
Well, come on. What, in 1964, what radio station is going to play Mine Girl, you know, in the German version of it? Yeah. Solomon Daylight.
Well, you would have thought, I didn't even know of any of this stuff for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now I've got the Motown Around the World, a two-disc set in my hand with everything from Stevie Wonder singing A Place in the Sun, and yes, in Italian.
Right.
And
Four
Tops with
The Supremes.
I'll be there in Italian. And Stevie Wonder had all kind of stuff.
It was very interesting that there was so much Italian. Now, see, I'm not sure why, but there was. There was a ton of Italian, probably more than anything else. And, some German, too, of course. And I understand that. But, you know, it's sort of like, why? You know, how did they decide it should be this and not... Yeah, well, there were some French version. I know, God, I think there were some Velvelettes in French, but
Pat Clark did a lot in French.
Well, she lived there.
Oh, okay. Well, that was pretty simple.
Yeah, she lived in Paris, and remember when Pat Clark hit with My Love, she was already a 30-year-old married woman. She wasn't, you know, a teen or anything like that. She'd already been around the block for over a decade, and she was living in Paris.
Another artist who was really good at doing foreign language stuff, and I just discovered that here within the past month, is Neil Sedaka.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I mean, I went then. I did find a lot of it on YouTube, but I don't have the list on me, but there was, like, he did Alice in Wonderland and Calendar Girl and Let's Go Steady Again.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Alice in Wonderland was my all-time favorite by him.
Well, it's pretty nice.
Yeah.
It really is. So, I never even talked to you about any of this stuff. By the way, I did two compilations of Donnie Elbert music.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to tell you. I don't have to tell you this, but that guy was so talented, but I think by the time he got on RCA Records in 1972, I don't think the poor man knew who he was anymore.
Exactly, and so much bad stuff had happened to him that it wasn't surprising at all. But yeah, so underrated and had so much going on. Just amazing.
Well, it seemed like he'd be willing to try to do anything, and it appears to me, just by observing these songs, that he was just kind of led around trying to please everybody and lost sight of what he did well.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of that Motown stuff was basically, that was what the label wanted him to do, for him to be on the label. So, you know, it was something that he did, but didn't really personally embrace. So,
well, this one thing he did on RCA wasn't even worth keeping. I mean,
yeah.
It was bad.
No, I know. Believe me, when he's good, he's very good. When he's bad, whoa, boy. Yes.
But the best stuff was his early stuff. And
yes.
That's really who he was.
Yes, and the stuff that was in Pittsburgh. You know,
I went and found about everything that I could find. Peekaboo and Wild Child. I've got, you know, two CDs worth of his stuff.
Yeah. Okay, now you mentioned foreign language, and I don't know if you ever heard this, but I've been wondering about it. I should have at the time stopped what I was doing in El Centro and recorded it, but I didn't. But every time I drive through El Centro, I'd hear this station from Mexicali, and I didn't bother to remember what call letters. But the format was Dejiste Los Estados Unidos, and of course what it was Spanish acts doing all of our hits. You know, different ones. And it was like, that was the whole format. So, you know, you'd recognize the music, of course, but here's somebody's voice you'd never heard before in Spanish doing the record. And that was the entire format.
I might have heard that station because I was looking around YouTube a couple of weeks ago and I found some station, and it was probably back in the 60s maybe, or 70s.
70s for sure. And I think it was into the 80s.
Somewhere in all this paperwork, I've got the notes and the call letters of what it was, but it was all over YouTube, and I didn't really hear any jocks. It was basically like all music.
Yes, yes. But it was so eerie because it was absolutely the same records. It's almost like they stole the tracks, which they didn't, but it was pretty close on the tracks. But then you hear the voices, and it's not only that it wasn't in English, it was that these are not the right people, you know. So
Oh yeah. I think it sounded quite good.
Yeah, well, I was always fascinated by it, and like an idiot, I didn't bother to go ahead and even note what it was, because, you know, I mean, El Centro, you're driving through it as fast as you can get through it, so you don't take too much time to stop. But I should have, because I've been wondering ever since.
All this stuff down, but if you saw my, I'm bad about post-it notes, so they're everywhere.
Oh, yeah. There was another thing on Spanish TV before there was ever Dance Fever here, that television show. There was Fiebre in Mexico, and same type show in Spanish, and it was so much better, you know. And so that was another thing. I thought, well, I know where they got Dance Fever from. So it's another thing where no one ever heard of Fiebre. So, but it was big.
Did they do a lot of dance TV shows in Mexico back in the 60s?
I didn't see that many. That was one of the few that I caught. What I used to love, of course, was the soap operas, and for the obvious reasons, you know, it was hilarious. You know, talk about over emoting and a lot of TNA. I mean, like how is this? And then Veronica Castro had a talk show that I really liked. And she had some good stuff. La Movida was the talk show. Veronica Castro. So I don't know what ever happened to her, but she was a beautiful girl. And I think went on to an acting career or something. But yeah, La Movida. So yes,
a lot of these songs that were recorded in foreign languages, are they even available anymore? I mean, can you find these things physically?
You know, that's interesting to ask because it's also like asking, can you find some of the stuff physically that that was recorded right here? Well, some of that stuff is, you know, re-released on CD. If you're looking for the original 45s, there weren't many, so that's going to cost you. I'd go to somebody like Val and say, hey, you know, can you get Chuck to do a search or something? But, you know, I think you might be able to get it, but probably it would be pricey. Just like we were talking about the Donnie Elbert CDs. They'd come out for a while, and then they wouldn't be there. And so, you know, if you didn't buy them when they were hot, trying to buy them later, well, now there's fewer of them, and it's more expensive.
I don't really care what, I mean, as long as the quality's good, I wouldn't need a single. I mean, I'm not a collector that like
right.
that. I just want the songs.
Oh, absolutely. Well,
but when you have a time, check out some of that Neil Sedaka stuff in Spanish. I didn't know he could. I didn't know he knew other languages, but he's quite good.
Well, he did. That stuff is on CD now. I'm pretty sure that Neil Sedaka stuff.
I found a couple of them on one of those. It was like a four disc CD, and there was a few.
No, there's one that's absolutely only that.
Oh, really?
Yes. And you've got some Italian. You got one in Hebrew. I remember that.
I saw that.
And, yeah. You got Italian, German, Spanish, Japanese, French, Hebrew. The Hebrew version, I think, was O'Carroll or something. But in any event, there is a CD of this. I'll look for it. But you have amazingly just about ended the show. It is always beyond wonderful hearing from you, so call me soon.
Thank you, and I'll find out that funny lady who spoofs the spoofers
on
YouTube. She's hilarious.
And I'll find the Neil Sedaka CD. All right, it's a deal.
Okay, we All got right. work to do.
Yes,
I wish
we
you
do.
A good morning.
All right, you too, thanks. Yeah, work to do. Some Wilbert Harrison. All right, not tonight, though. We'll get to this right now here on WGN Radio. All right, so during the break, I'm actually going to pick up the phone and talk to Michael if he hears me. Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Raleigh.
Okay, what's your request?
The Impression, Gypsy Woman.
I'll play it tomorrow night. Thanks.
Thank you.
Appreciate okay, bye. Sure thing.
Bye-bye.
All right, so happy to do that for Michael, because I know we're only going to have seconds. So I think Stephanie has a request as well. I didn't get a chance to play her request tonight, but I had it written down to do. And, yes, Percy Mayfield, Please Send Me Somebody to Love, 1950 on specialty, 78. But I think she has yet another request. So, Stephanie, what's your other request?
Hey, you know what? This is a repeat. Actually, I have two of them. But the repeat, though, I missed Jackie Shane last night.
Oh.
And I love that song. I used to listen to it on AM740.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely loved it. I don't know if you could play it for me sometime.
Yeah, I'll try to, but otherwise I'll play another Jackie Shane that I didn't play last night.
Oh, that would be cool, too. Yeah,
okay.
He passed away some
yes.
time
yes.
ago. And then William Bell and Judy Clay, Private Number.
Private Number, big beach song. Okay, you got it.
You got. And also, you know what, on WRT, tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Central, they have...
I'm running out of time. I'm returning back to my deal here.
Don't turn into a pumpkin. Talk to you later.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I've just got about enough time to say goodnight, everybody. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. I thank you for calling. Makes all the difference in the world. We're starting promptly at 10 tomorrow night, Wednesday. Attendance will be taken. Please be there. Please call. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.